Are you ready?
A Shot of Wrestling, episode 345, and away we go.
Break some damn shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, are you ready to rock? So take a shot. Oh, so take a shot. Oh, yeah. I'm a street breaker. I'm a heartbreaker. This is my dawn. I'm a mold razor. Rick Flair ain't your boy, about to seek and destroy. It's an SOW. Let me hear you make noise. Take a shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, but you're ready to rock. So take a shot.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Shot of Wrestling. I'm your host, at Mocker Jeff Putty, joined once again, Mr. Marcus Schwann. Marcus, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, man. What a week.
Yeah.
What a week. You ever have one of those weeks where it feels like it's like 5 weeks wrapped in one?
Yeah, constantly.
I feel like it ages you, man.
Yeah, tell me about it.
How was yours, man?
My week actually wasn't that bad. You know, still getting used to the new job, still getting acclimated, but it's going slow, but it's much better than where I was, so I'm still enjoying life. Ending 2023 on a high note, surprisingly. So
wow.
Far, so good. This is our last show of the year, too, so we're going out on top, buddy. We're going out on top. How you been?
So you said, like, you know, in the beginning of 2023, you were like, this is not my year.
For the first 11 right? months, you it said, wasn't, yes.
You said that, like, from, like, day one.
Yes, I did.
Like, the first hour.
Damn right.
Of the new year. Now, do you feel like, all right, it's wrapped up? It's shaping up to have like a really nice 2024. Do you feel that way?
The potential is there. It's on me to make it happen.
I love that answer.
Because this whole year has sucked. Every month something has gone wrong, or something I've not been good, feeling good, or something's been off. So now here we are. I know I need to do some changes in my life, and I just got to pull the trigger on them going into next year. Now that the toxicity, the negativity, and that black cloud is not on my shoulders anymore. Hopefully I got the motivation to make 2024 a good year for me. And the show.
Hell yeah. And the show. How can we forget?
Yeah.
Right? Love that you said that, buddy, man. Like, it's inspiring.
I aspire to inspire.
There it is. I set you up for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a nice 2024 for myself as well. This is the last show. You said of the year?
Yeah, next weekend's
is that right?
Next weekend's Christmas. The weekend after that, New Year's. I'm like, oh shit, we ran out of time to do the parties. Wow. We have to wait till next year.
Wow, man. Yeah, that just flew by.
Yeah, but so wrapped up with everything. I totally didn't think of the calendar. So the parties will be in 2024. I think they did that this year too. So wait till maybe the first show of January. But yeah, man, this last month has been flying by. It's almost Christmas.
I'm not ready for that.
Oh, no.
I'm not ready for that at all.
Neither am I. Did I tell you my new job fucked me over?
Your new job fucked you over?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something with the pay?
Yeah, so
right?
So this Christmas is going to be rough, so I'm not ready for it either. So this Christmas is going to, maybe New Year's will be good. Happy New Year's.
Dude, let me tell you, man, I am not looking forward to the bouncing around of the families. Listen, love both families. They're great. Awesome human beings. They're great with my daughter and all. It's just a lot. It's just sometimes a little overwhelming, especially like, you know, my parents, my in-laws, they only live 10 minutes apart from each other. So you see one, you have to see the other. There's a lot of pressure there for that. And, you know, my daughter, there's a lot of stimulation there, you know, and it amps her up a bit. Sleep just doesn't happen during that point. So everyone's cranky. Not looking forward to it. Not looking forward to it at all.
Man, that sucks. Like, it's supposed to be Christmas. You have a baby. It's supposed to be, like, the most magical time of the year for you. But family ruins everything. Ugh.
But, like, she doesn't really understand it. You know, I mean, like, so today I picked her up at daycare. Apparently they were doing this whole Santa cookies celebration thing, right? And I go over there, you know, to try to, you know, introduce her to Santa. She wants nothing to do with him.
No.
At all.
Neither did I.
No interest.
Fuck that. Too young. Too scary.
I think that's what it was. And plus, you know, a lot of kids there. So again, this overstimulated type of deal. She's like kind of sitting back, looking around, like, what's going on here? Why is this guy in a red outfit who does not definitely does not look like Santa, by the way. So yeah, I'm sure she was like lots of questions going on in her head. And she doesn't really understand this stuff. Not yet. I don't think it's going to get really exciting for us until like she knows what's up.
Probably at 4 or 5, that's when it kicks in, right?
Right.
My friend's kid was about your daughter's age, maybe 3. They took him to go see Santa in the mall. And what happens? The kid has a meltdown.
Of course.
So one of my favorite pictures they sent me was the kid crying on Santa's lap, reaching out towards mom. And God love him, that was their Christmas picture, Christmas card. The kid crying on Santa's lap.
They probably had no other options.
One of my favorite cards. It was great.
Like, we don't really have options for our Christmas cards at all. We had to kind of do like a makeshift one. And it turns out it's not even going to get out in time. So, like, what's the point? Christmas, I don't understand Christmas cards. I don't get it. My wife is really big into it.
Yeah, man.
I personally don't get it.
I did it for like 3 years in a row, 4 years, consistently. And then I'm like, why? No one cares about me. I'm just signing my name to it. I'm like, not writing a message. I'm not putting a picture. I'm just taking a generic card, signing my name to it. Why bother? No one cares.
Like, I send a text. That's what I do. I send a text Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Sup? Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Whatever. And that's about that.
Yeah. I don't mind getting the cards of the photos, especially if it's the babies and kids. And like 4 families send me the pictures. I hang them up, display them for like 2 weeks. I'm like, right, now Christmas is over. Bye. So I don't mind getting them. It's just I'm by myself. No one wants to, like I said, I'm not doing anything. I'm sending a picture.
All right.
I'm sending my name to a card, so no one wants to see
that. Like, if I don't get one, right. If I don't get one from you, I'm not going to be insulted. Like, all right, cool, fine. So be it. Like, who started this whole trend? Hallmark, right? It's Hallmark. Yeah, of course. That's always the answer.
If I didn't get one from you, I wouldn't be offended until you just said you're sending them out. So if I don't get one, I will be offended now. Just put one and make it on record.
Hey, well, my wife is in charge of this. I'm not in charge of it.
Under the bus.
Yeah, well, it's the truth.
Before we go on to what's trending, just confirming yet again, the phones are listening because, I mean, it's only 3 times, but it's compared to 0 in the last couple months. 3 Instagram reels were about Moana. I'm like, what the hell is this? And that wasn't a trending topic, but now all of a sudden, I'm getting Moana reels. And I guess that wasn't trending. Mark, please tell it what was trending.
All right, Putty. Let's start off with some news here. Russell Pierce at Russell Pierce. According to sources in AEW, many within the company have been pushing for the signing of Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, and there have been multiple creative pitches made for him. One of the pitches included him being one of CJ Perry's clients. Interesting choice. Putty, what do you think about this? Does Dolph Ziggler have anything left to prove at this point? Like, why should he go to AEW and why?
Why not?
Fair enough.
Does Edge have anything left to prove? No. They're going for another chapter in their career. Dolph Ziggler was underutilized, probably the best wrestler in that roster. Underutilized, probably the most underutilized. Let's go to AEW. Let's give him a chance there. Let him be used for a couple months before he's regulated to his tag team with his brother. But, you know, let's see what happens. I'm excited about this. He has a lot left in the tank. What, to prove? No. I think his resume speaks for itself. He's a Hall of Fame candidate already. Best of luck. Hope he does well. See you, buddy.
I disagree. I feel like...
What else is new?
I feel like there's a big difference between Adam Copeland and Dolph Ziggler. Adam Copeland had years, almost a decade, taken away from him because of a neck injury. And he still felt like he had stuff to prove, right? And so he's really enjoying all the time he's got left in the tank here. Dolph never, thankfully, never had an injury that severe where it was taken away from him. Dolph Ziggler has accomplished a lot in wrestling. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, well, you know, he should have been a world champion a lot longer. Well, yeah, I agree. But he was still world champion at one point in WWE. And I don't necessarily know if it's a guarantee that he'll be a world champion in AEW.
He's not.
You know, exactly. Right away. That was your gut reaction.
Yeah.
Most likely not. Dolph Ziggler has other things going on with his life. You know, he is a stand-up comedian. Dolph Ziggler is a contributor to, whether you like it or hate it, Fox News. You know, like, he has a lot of different outlets for him to go to. What else is there for him to do in wrestling? There's a lot of other ways for him to make that money.
But you act. You're an actor. You act because it's your passion. You have other stuff on your plate, too. But your first and foremost is acting. Maybe wrestling is his passion. Wrestling is his number one. Yeah, on the side, he'll be a stand-up comedian. On the side, he'll do investment advice or whatever he's doing with Fox News. But number one is he wants to be a professional wrestler. He grew up wanting to be a professional wrestler. So, yeah, if he has opportunities there for him to take it, he's going to fucking take it. And I support him in doing that. Let's do this, buddy. Come on. Let's come back to the WWE in a couple months, a couple years, whatever this contract is. Yeah, good for you. Follow your heart. Follow your passion. Be a dream chaser, as Dave Bautista says. And do you, buddy.
But what does AEW have to offer him, though? That's the thing. You know, what is missing in his career that he wants to do? You know, especially, like, you know, we have some news coming up about AEW that we're going to get into a little later here. But AEW is kind of losing some leverage. They have a money problem. We saw that. They lost, what, $34 million in earnings this year? Okay. I think the number was. They have a shitload of talent. Not enough time. Well, why? Other than to team with his brother? To help maybe give his brother that rub?
To do what he loves to do?
That's what I'm there are other ways for him to do it. There are other ways for him to do it, though. Like, what? Look, he could do the Matt Cardona route. Him and Matt Cardona are very good friends.
Yeah, he definitely could.
You know, Matt Cardona is making a killing on the indies and doing his own thing. Dolph Ziggler can very well do that. Look, he's already got a show January 20th in Puerto Rico that he's doing.
Okay.
Or, actually, you're probably not going to believe I'm going to say this. He could go to TNA, where he could probably be a world champion there.
Yeah, easily. Easily there.
Like, that's more. There's more for him to do in TNA than AEW, I believe.
Okay. But he loves wrestling. I don't care where he goes. Just do what you want to. Do what you love. Mark, do what you love. AJ, do what you love. Putty, do what you love. Dolph Ziggler, do what you love. Don't listen to Mark Schwann raining negativity. Just do what you want to do, buddy. And if he wants to go to AEW, let him go to AEW. Maybe he wants to hang out with his brother. Maybe he wants to wrestle with his brother. What's wrong with that?
Maybe. And if that's the case, awesome. Yeah. So be it. So be it.
I don't want people are just looking down their nose at this move. I'm like, do you, buddy?
I'm not necessarily looking down. It's just like, just what does he have, what does he have
people,
left to prove?
I've seen people say that comment. He has nothing left to prove, but he wants to do, what he loves to do.
He definitely has stuff left in the tank. That's for sure.
What's left to prove?
You know,
I don't know what he has
left
to prove, but he still loves doing this. Why take it away from him? Let's him keep doing what he loves to do. As a kid, if I wanted to be a pro wrestler and I was fired, AEW gave me a contract, I'm like, I could be on a weekly TV show. Yeah, maybe two with fucking Ring of Honor. Yeah, I'll take that deal. If I love wrestling
However, AEW is not his only option, though, as we can see right now.
Oh, of course. Any option is. Especially if you sign with AEW, it's not an exclusive deal. You can go to New Japan, you can still do indies. But then with AEW, you're on a TV, nationally, global television, week in and week out.
Well, I think that's a good segue here.
Good luck, buddy.
To get into the next topic regarding AEW, buddy. The hits just keep on pouring for them right now. So according to the news report right here, buddy, let me get this up here. Inside the Ropes at @inside_the_ropes. According to a new report from Nick Hosman, there is a vibe that Tony Khan and AEW are in danger of not being renewed by Warner Brothers Discovery on TBS or TNT. Man. That is rough. But if AEW does lose its TV deal with Warner Brothers, how does that affect wrestling as a whole?
Depends on where they land. They're going to land somewhere else.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Good reports.
How often do we talk about how this is a great time to be a wrestler? The business is thriving. Just because AEW might not be. The market is there for wrestling. CW is changing their whole fucking identity and bringing on wrestling. Do they want to be a live action or live sports network all of a sudden? I don't believe this is going to happen. But if some reason it does, they'll end up somewhere else. I'm not worried about that.
Apparently, apparently there's rumblings that Warner Brothers may be in play for WWE.
Yeah. Also heard that WWE is willing to waive their exclusivity deal. So I don't see that happening either. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we could talk about forever, but if AEW does end up losing the Turner networks, they'll end up somewhere else.
The question is, yeah, I mean, like, listen, Impact will end up somewhere else, right?
Yeah, but Impact, again, Impact only there because they own that network.
Right.
Tony Khan could buy, right. Khans could buy another network or whatever network they do own. I'm sure they do own one of them.
I'm sure they could do that. They have the money to do so, but, like, how well will it do? That's the question.
Or take the forefront, you know? Be the flag bearer with streaming and online deals and just go that route. That's what Impact did for a while until they found a TV deal. Mm-hmm. I think it was Pop. They went to Pop TV, what it was then called. I'm not sure what it's called now. But yeah, so even if AEW has to go on online exclusivity for a year or two, they'll find their home again.
Right, but this would hurt AEW for sure.
It'll be a little bump, like big bump, yeah, but they'll land on their feet.
It's a big bump. Like they, I think they would definitely
again if Impact's lose out if Impact's still in business for 20 something right. years.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay, Impact's still in business. Great, fine. Yeah. AEW's still going to be in business. Fine. I'm not saying that AEW's going to completely close up shop and that's it.
I said that before.
It's over for them. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is AEW, I think, then loses standing as a viable number two to WWE. That's what I'm saying. I think WWE just outright wins at that point.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, some people don't even consider it a viable number two because, like I said, the downward skid they're on. But it's if they lose a major national, international TV deal, yeah, they would definitely be on the level of Impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's major. That is a ripple effect all throughout wrestling. Like, no matter which way you slice it. Because at one point, at a certain point, then you have to look, okay, AEW, they definitely would have to cut back on funds, which means they have to cut back on talent. Which means then talent, there's going to be a lot more talent that are not signed as opposed to being signed.
Or just sell off Ring of Honor. This is ridiculous, having both of them.
Eric Bischoff made like a pretty damning comment about Ring of Honor recently, right?
I don't remember. He's often one with damning comments. I lose track of his damning this week.
Very true.
Not an insult. I like Eric Bischoff. But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. Let's not deal with hyperbole.
Look at you being very, very hopeful about AEW right now. Should we swap places?
I don't think it's going to happen. I just feel like them going off the Turner Network is going to be ridiculous.
For who, though? Like, it's not unrealistic, though.
I never said it was. I'm thinking it would be ridiculous for them to be this huge. How long has it been around? 4 years now? Right? It's 5 years of the TV deal, yeah. Again, let's deal with it when it comes to it. Let's not stress. Let's not worry about it. It's the holidays. I'm turning all negativity off for the next 2 weeks. Enjoying myself. Good luck, AEW.
Good luck, AEW. Yeah. They definitely need some good news right now. They need to turn it around because there's a lot of negativity surrounding AEW. Dude, this is not good for them. Hopefully they do land on their feet. If this is true, if the report is true, hopefully they do go to a viable network. Because other than that, like, I think this is going to hurt, and there's going to be a huge ripple effect, as I said, throughout wrestling. Moving on, no putty. Going on to back to WWE, actually, with NXT. So a huge name was backstage. Did you hear about this? WrestlePurist at WrestlePurist. According to sources, CM Punk is backstage at tonight's NXT. He's been hanging out throughout the day and has also been giving talent feedback on matches this evening. That was originally reported by Fightful Select. Good to hear about CM Punk, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking a locker room leadership role, something you don't quite often hear with him recently. How do you think CM Punk could help with NXT and the talent back there at this stage of the game?
Every way possible. Every check mark that needs to be checked, he'll check. In-ring work, promos, character development, he has everything. He's a huge asset to NXT. This is a huge one of the positives of him being in the WWE. He has that outlet to train the next generation. Something I think he mentioned being curious or interested in doing. Now here he is doing it. We've seen pictures of him training at the Performance Center with these young, we got Cora Jade and Nikita Lyons, Roxanne Perez. Huge asset. Huge. Not only is it a huge asset for WWE for multiple reasons, now it's a huge asset for the next generation in NXT. And good on them for doing this. And good on him for willing to do it. That shows his maturity.
Absolutely. I think right now CM Punk is doing everything possible to show that he's changed, right? With the I'm home speech, with the, you know, it seems like he has made some amends or made an effort to make amends with people in the back from reports that have been leaked out about this. And now to this, you know, being backstage with, you know, kicking with Shawn Michaels and you know, offering insight and feedback to these up-and-coming wrestlers. CM Punk, you know, if he wants to live up to the moniker best in the world, and I know to some that's debatable, but this is how you do it. This is how you carry on the legacy all throughout being the best in the world, kind of like what Shawn Michaels said, to me, is the best in the world. You know, ring on a mic, and now to this, leading to the future generation. That's how CM Punk can truly cement himself as best in the world.
You look at Ebenezer Scrooge. Tis the season, right? The richest man in the world at the time. What did he do? He hoarded it, but he was still the richest man. But no one cared. Everyone hated him. Until he became the richest man when he saw those ghosts, and now he's a happy, happy, joy, joy, love all, we all. That's what CM Punk's doing now. Now he was the best in the world in the ring. Now he's just cementing that legacy as being the best in the world by passing his knowledge on to the next generation and training them in NXT, which I think is awesome. And just shows his different CM Punk we're not used to seeing. Right. I like this CM Punk.
Especially, like, you know, this is the biggest way you can offer, like, you know, help here, because, you know, a lot of these wrestlers in NXT, they can go in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without a shadow of doubt. They're athletic freaks in there. But CM Punk, he's a natural born talker. You know, and that's kind of been like the knock on some of these NXT people that move up. Like, they're not necessarily the best on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And he can definitely pull that out of them. Absolutely. You know, that's the best thing he can do with them.
Totally agree. It's so excited now. See what's going on with NXT with him there. Right, so the promos, like you mentioned, it's good for him, man. It's just so excited to see that. I'm just still shocked. I'm not used to the CM Punk. I'm so used to, like, this animosity towards him. The last couple weeks, I'm still like, all right, go CM Punk. Go Phil Brooks. And this is how you carry on your legacy, too. You know what I'm saying? Bret Hart is one of those guys who has a solid legacy. Goldberg, great legacy. But then he'll turn on to the Shawn Michaels, the Triple H's, who are carrying on their tradition. The Dusty Rhodes's, who are passing on their knowledge to the next generation. I'm not saying he's in the same league as Dusty Rhodes yet, baby.
But CM Punk was a big Dusty Rhodes guy, though.
Yeah. So if he can continue teaching the next generation, that's how another way he can extend his legacy going forward as the best in the world.
Do you think he's genuinely doing this? Or do you think this is something that he feels that he has to do to silence the critics?
I want to say he genuinely wants to do this. But again, I mentioned, I heard him say something about training and passing on the next. I forgot when it was, if it was before or after he signed. Last couple months have been a blur. But I think genuinely he wants to do this. And I want to believe it's genuine.
I want to believe it's genuine too, yeah. You know, it's crazy. He's such a polarizing figure. Like, you hear half the people say he's the biggest scumbag in the face of the earth. Then you hear the other half say, like, dude, the guy's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's weird.
Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you have to understand, like, these are people's perspectives. So this is their truth that they're talking here. You know, like, everyone can have their experience. Like, people could say, like, you know, Michael J. Putty, I met him once on a bad day. It was a bad day for you, but hey, you know, it was my first time meeting. He was an absolute scumbag.
Yeah, of course.
Could be true for that person.
Rest celebrities all the time. Like, the celebrities are a dick, but then, like, oh, I just had a bad day. So,
right. They have a bad day. And plus, you know, I mean, I really feel like the stuff that went on at AEW, I feel like was not all on Punk. Yes, he bears some of that, but, like, it's not all him. I think he's been vilified by a lot of the fans as a villain in this. I think there is no good guy in this, personally. But
no, plus you have this young guy, I hate to cut you off, and Jack Perry going for advice, and he tells you don't use real glass, and this fucking guy just throws it back in your face. That's disrespectful, especially as a locker room leader, some guy who wants to spread his knowledge to the next generation. Then that blows up, tempers got heated. That's just, again, that's not on him totally. I think it's a whole clusterfuck of situation.
There's a whole clusterfuck. So apparently the whole London trip was like a shit show regarding CM Punk.
Yeah.
Leading up to it, but Moving on here, Putty, some big injury news here, both in AEW and WWE. Let's start off with AEW, Russell Pierce at Russell Pierce. Sean Rossett broke the news here. Kenny Omega had been ill throughout the last week. He still did a match with Ethan Page and the promos and sought medical attention after, where he was diagnosed with, ooh, here we go.
Here we go.
Diverticulitis.
How do you deal it now?
That's what he was saying.
were you like getting hustled? I was biting my lip to correct you. And now you just nail it. Go fuck yourself.
Nailed it. But then in other news here, WrestleOps, breaking news, WWE have officially announced that Charlotte Flair will be out for 9 months after suffering an injury on SmackDown last week, wishing her a safe and speedy recovery. Damn. That is major, Putty. Which one of these injuries here, Putty, do you feel like hurts the promotion the most?
Kenny Omega, hands down.
Wow. Yeah. Without...
Because there's also no there's no timetable for his comeback with diverticulitis. That's how you pronounce it. That's a bitch.
That illness Brock Lesnar had that.
Yeah. I think that's when he was in UFC. Again, and it ended his UFC career. So, yeah, that is, again, because Charlotte Flair has a knee injury. Charlotte Flair just came back a couple months ago. She just getting her toes wet in a real storyline. And now she's out again. Okay. That sucks. But her spot was already filled with somebody else. So, it's going to be sad to see her go. She's the face of that franchise, but, you know, she'll be okay. Her spot has already been filled. Come back, do what you got to do. But Kenny Omega, there's no timetable for him to come back. How long do you stretch this out? You know, we're not going to be with Charlotte Flair for 9-10 months. Kenny Omega, we don't know how long he's going to be out. Plus, he's in this storyline. He's the pillar of one of those companies. He was back. He's involved with the whole Don Callis family still, the Golden Jets storyline, going for the tag team titles. That leaves a huge hole on their main storylines, multiple storylines, going into these TV rights. That's going to hurt them more.
Yeah, I mean, bad timing. Bad timing for AEW for sure. Again, the hits just keep on coming to them, right? I do feel like with AEW, yes, Kenny Omega is a big figure over there, right? He's an EVP for crying out loud.
That's right.
However, you know, I do think, like, you know, there's just so much talent over there in AEW that, like, it's like next man up. You know, I think there are plenty of other wrestlers that could, like, you know, level up. Not to say, like, you know, Kenny Omega is a nobody, but, like, you know, there's just so much star power over there, you know? And I'd say WWE Women's Division has a lack of storylines or a lack of stars in the Women's Division. Here's the thing with Charlotte Flair, you know, like, you know, she's came back, as you said, getting her feet wet in storyline here. You know, we're on the road to WrestleMania. You mean tell me they didn't have some big plans planned for WrestleMania?
Probably did, yeah. Probably with something with Bayley, right? I'm assuming Bayley or something with Damage Control. Yeah.
Like, I know people are sick and tired of seeing Charlotte Flair in the title hunt, but, like, one would think something of that, maybe something with Bayley, maybe a big time match, a Hell in a Cell match, maybe like a match with a returning legend. Who knows? But they definitely had something big in store for Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is like the woman's version of Shawn Michaels in a way, like a big time match at WrestleMania. You know, so, like, there was definitely something major there, and I feel like, you know, as fans, we kind of getting robbed of that, unfortunately. And it, you know, listen. I wish them both a speedy recovery, man. Like, you know, it sucks to see. Like, we saw the knee injury last week in SmackDown. It did not look good. We knew right away that something went wrong. So definitely wishing Charlotte Flair the best. And wishing Kenny Omega the best as well. Like, you know, listen, I know I've talked trash about EVPs being active wrestlers, but hey, he's still a human being. He's still an athlete trying to do something he loves. You don't want to see that, especially this station in his career. Like you said, Brock Lesnar, it ruined his UFC career.
And it's random,
what
too.
What happens next?
It's not like he got hurt doing something. It's
right.
A disease that got activated. It's like we see a football player go down just by running. Mm-hmm. But with non-contact injury, that fucking sucks. This is the equivalent of a non-contact injury in football. And again, there's no timetable for his return. It's just huge blow. Speedy recovery to both of them. And get well soon. Jesus.
Do you think Kenny Omega can come back?
Yes. Again, I'm not the expert of diverticulitis. I know people who do have it. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar came back. He can't even make him come back.
Brock Lesnar was younger, though, than Kenny Omega when he had it, though. Am I correct in saying that?
That I'm not sure what the eighth Ranger was. I'm not sure.
Kanemaker is like what? He's got to be 40-something right now? Brock was definitely younger than that. Let me check age real fast. Kenny Omega is 40 years old, exactly.
Damn.
That's rough, man. How does it make you feel, man?
Fucking old, dude. I've been dealing with stomach issues for the last 10 years, so I got a leg up on him already. So I do feel a little better about that, but... So
Kenny Omega should hit you up for advice, is what you're saying.
No, because something totally different. Different horse in that race. If you want to hit me up at Michael J. Putty. I know people will have it. I can get in contact with people.
Putty knows people.
They're living.
He's got you, Kenny.
They're living fruitful lives. So it's possible. Right. You'll be fine.
You're like Tommy DeVito's agent. I know someone who knows someone. I got you.
That's a joke, right? That's a joke. Yeah. Like he's a Muppet.
Yeah.
His agent. That was a plant. Like that wasn't a real agent. Like you know agents, not sport agents, but like Hollywood agents. That's not how agents act and dress unless you're like Joey Tribbiani's agent or friends.
I really thought it was a joke too until he was interviewing a Pat McAfee show.
It's a joke.
He's apparently a real agent.
But is he a real agent? Did he dress up? Was he in costume? Was he playing up to a certain role?
I honestly couldn't tell you, man. This is an agent who's representing a third string quarterback. Undrafted. So,
and as a lifelong wrestling fan, we know how this works. This seems like to be a wrestling mark. It seems like to be a plant. Something's going on here. There's a storyline. There's a payoff here. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either, man. But that's all I have for the news. Again, speed recovery to both Kenny Omega and Charlotte Flair. This sucks.
It's time for this week's TV Takedown.
All right, let's move on to some TV. What's trending this week?
All right, Putty. Dude, Monday Night Raw. Banger of a show. Basically, you had the face-off that everyone's been clamoring to see.
Can we skip Monday? Happened. Can we skip Monday? Monday's a sore subject for me.
Oh. Why is that?
Did your team lose a 14-point lead in 3 minutes?
Moving on here. Humble Wrestling at Wrestling Humble. CM Punk, Seth Rollins, they face off with each other. Seth Rollins talked for 5 minutes straight, saying he loves the crowd, the people, the company, and the crowd, still chanting for CM Punk. You know, that paints one narrative, but, you know, I've also heard personally, you know, the Seth Rollins, you know, the music can be playing, from the fans. So there's a lot of back and forth there, Putty. Who do you think is going to be the heel in the storyline here, CM Punk or Seth Rollins?
Do we need one?
Fair point.
I think it was just recently we had a storyline that was no heel or face. It was just two of the same characters involved in a heavy, badass storyline. I can't think of what it was offhand. I've been trying to think for the last hour or so. But I think we had a similar conversation off air about this. Who's the heel? It depends on who you're a fan of. If you're one of those people who are singing Seth Rollins' song, CM Punk's the heel. If you're the people chanting CM Punk, Seth Rollins is the heel. If you're a WWE loyalist, CM Punk's the heel. It's just... depends on your point of view. I don't think there's going to be a solid heel. This match is going to be dueling chants, probably from the same people because they want to get involved in the action. I don't think we need a heel here. Or they're both heels. The glass half full or half empty. Either way, we all win.
This kind of reminds me of The Rock and Hulk Hogan, right? When they face off at WrestleMania.
Okay.
And, you know, Hulk Hogan going to the match was the heel, and all of a sudden, midway through.
Remember that? That was insane.
Right?
That was insane.
Everything about that was insane. Like, the face-off, you know, you see that classic shot between the two.
Yeah.
Then look in the crowd, you hear the fans, the ovation going on, cheering for Hogan. And then there's, like, midway through, man, they swapped roles. It was fantastic. I feel like at some point we're going to see that here. You know, we still have months to build up to this eventual match at WrestleMania. You know, it looks like it's inevitable that this is going to happen at WrestleMania. Somehow, some way, we don't know how it's going to happen. We have theories how it's going to happen. But nonetheless, I feel like something big is going to happen here, man. Like, you know, Seth Rollins painting that picture, like, you know, that he's the face, he's the savior of WWE, you know, he's saving this company from people like CM Punk. But as you said, though, there are diehard CM Punk fans. Let's go either way, man.
What were you thinking during this promo?
Think a lot of things, like, you know, think like how much truth there is that Seth Rollins is saying for him. Then you come to find out there was no producer for the segment.
Yeah.
Right. So there had to be a layer of truth to it. And I think, like, you know, kudos to both men being the ultimate professionals. You know, there's definitely something there as far as, like, especially more so with Seth Rollins. And I don't know, I know nothing about CM Punk's end about this. I don't think any of us do. But, and for all we know, they worked out in the back, right?
I figured they would, like, have to, yeah. Or,
hey, man.
Maybe not.
Or not, right?
Don't write it down. Let's do it live.
Right.
Give me Alabama. Right.
But, like, dude, this is just awesome. It's great for wrestling, man. And, like, I don't necessarily know, like, where else you go from here. Eventually, these two are going to come to blows. I think at some point, a definite heel is going to emerge from this. I do think so.
I don't think so. Thank you for the internet wins again. Because when I was watching this, I'm like, did I see this already? And thank you to the internet for doing this side-by-side comparison to Hangman Adam Page's promo against Punk, which is basically the same thing.
Very similar.
And you do it side-by-side. Very similar. Okay. It was different, but, like, still hits home. Both promos were awesome. This promo was awesome, and Punk's reaction to it was great, too. Great segment overall. Looking forward to this. Do we not see CM Punk in a ring until Royal Rumble?
No, well, apparently CM Punk is going to be facing Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, but not on TV at MSG at 26th. But yeah, on TV, will we not see him
that
in the ring?
That'll most likely lead to a TV match.
Okay, I hope so.
It's being so heavily advertised.
I feel like we're going to see CM Punk, what, three times in a ring until WrestleMania? You got to give us some in the ring action on TV. I'm saying you want to put him in TV house shows to get him acclimated and to the WWE style again and with people, but I hope we see him on TV again. I want to see him in the ring doing what he does best.
And by the way, I love that Dominic Mysterio is his first opponent.
It's great, yeah.
For so many reasons.
Nothing to lose.
Like, but then also, like, think about the history. Like, when Dominic Mysterio was a little boy, at CM Punk wished him a happy birthday with their night feud with Rey Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Like, that's amazing. I mean, he's talking about the internet. Like, those memes are going viral for quite a bit.
Long-term and storytelling, like, my friend. Lost art form.
Right? Yeah. It's just like, it was like, well done. And I feel like Triple H or someone in creative is definitely paying attention to, like, what's going
yeah,
on.
That'll be well done if it translates to TV, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it has to. It definitely has to. Especially, like, again, it's being advertised all across the board that this is the first match. I feel like typically when you see that, it's a house show. Typically, they wind up giving it on Raw or SmackDown. Like, in this case, it'll be Monday Night Raw. Moving on, though, Putty. Going to NXT, your fave.
Damn right.
Cora Jade was trending all across the board here, man, for multiple reasons. But, you know, going to Wrestle News at Wrestling News Co. Cora Jade has come a long way since the skateboard gimmick. Hashtag WWE NXT. I feel like she definitely has, man. Like, it's like two different people, I feel like. How much do you think Cora Jade has improved?
Probably one of the most stupid questions you've ever asked me. Exponentially. It's night and day. You know, there's so many reasons she's killing it. She had a huge cult following with the Generation of Jade skateboard gimmick thing. And then they turned her heel. And then she had the storyline with Roxanne. Then she went away for a while. Came back, new and improved. And so far, she's killing it. So far, it's great. It reminded me of, as you were talking, Bayley. You know, Bayley, the hugger, sweet hugger gimmick. You know, I'm Bayley. Everyone loves me. And then she turned heel and just launched her into a different stratosphere. I think that's what we're seeing with Cora Jade right now. I don't think she's going to be in NXT too long.
No, not at all. She's been ready. Like, there are people that have been, like, that knock the skateboard gimmick. I don't know why, because I feel like she was still good during that run.
No, she was good. It got her over. She was over with that.
Like, you know, there was definitely, she wasn't like a total package here with that. She wasn't necessarily, like, you know, main event ready yet there, but you definitely saw a lot to promise. But there were people saying, like, oh, dude, she can't wrestle, blah, 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 whatever. I don't understand that. Maybe we're just not watching the same thing. I don't know. But yeah, but now it's like universal, like, this girl is it.
They said the same shit about Mandy Rose, too. What happened to her? When she turned heel, got this badass, sexy gimmick, and then we got better and better. Every match she went in, and then she was champion. The face of that franchise during 2.0.
Is it about being heel, though? Like Drew McIntyre, same thing right now. You can say about Monday Night Raw. Like, Drew McIntyre is probably doing the best work he's ever done, and that's being heel.
Everyone loves to hate. You love to hate the bad guys, and some people like me love the roof of the bad guys. They don't give a shit what they say. They don't appeal to the crowd. They can say whatever. Look at Christian. He can say whatever the fuck he wants to say. Being a heel is better and awesome. And I mentioned it a couple months ago. I forget who it was. It might have been her. I meant to say it as a stupid, like, you know, one of those stupid things I always say. That she comes, she looks sexier as a bad guy, as a heel.
But that's a weird thing, though.
No, because look at Mandy Rose. Look at Drew McIntyre. He's much sexier now as a bad guy. And I'm not saying that to be, I said that back then to be a perv. I'm not saying it now because it's just when you have the confidence, when you portray yourself as a sexy character like Drew McIntyre, like Corey Jade is, the confidence oozes out more.
No, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Confidence, yeah. I'm trying to be serious now. The confidence is there. You keep that badass, sexy villain, and like the crowd's going to hate you. And you're like, I don't give a shit what you think. My shit don't stink. It equates
to confidence. I guess that's the thing. Like, I guess people like the bad boy, the bad girl, huh?
Yeah, and again, it's the confidence oozes out more on a heel than it does in a face. You know, you see faces, but the confidence, to me, I hit more with bad people, heels.
It's funny, like, as a performer, right?
Okay.
You know, especially in the wrestling world, like I love being the villain. I love being a heel.
Comes naturally.
You know, it's just so opposite of who I am in real life. You know, and like it just brings like real joy. Like, you know, where else is it like acceptable to be booed? And that's exactly, a good thing.
Exactly.
You know, it's fun. But like, you know, for me, like being a face has been, it's really challenging. Like I can play a good guy in movies, TV, no problem. I've done commercial work, so obviously I have to be a good guy in that. But wrestling, it's challenging. I guess maybe because I'm a manager. But wrestlers, I see like, not everyone can knock it out of the park being a face. It seems like a lot of people get more joy being a heel. But I feel like Cora Jade, her face work doesn't necessarily get enough credit because I feel like she did a very good job as face. And I feel like that's going back to the main point here. Cora Jade, I think, yes, she's going to the main roster very soon because honestly, yes, like I think a lot of people are gravitating towards a heel work right now because I guess being a heel is sexy, as you said. But she can do both. And to me, if you can do both effectively, then you have major star power.
Go back to CM Punk for a second. See the video of NXT Deadline, her interviewing Corey Jade? Just going back to him. And that was a huge moment for her, too, because you go back to the video of her as a kid.
She kind of broke.
There was a full circle moment there. And I'd like to see more of that going forward. Corey Jade, man, killing it.
Yeah, man. I definitely can't wait to see. Royal Rumble, what do you think?
Easily.
I hope so.
Especially now there's an open slot with Charlotte Flair missing. Who's going to fill that spot?
Right.
So I think it's going to be, going to be Cora Jade. Will she stick around? I don't know, but she'll definitely be the Rumble.
You know what, though? I mean, we had a similar conversation not too long ago about Tiffany Stratton and what's going on with her.
She'll be in the Rumble? Easily.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully. Because I feel like she was ready to go, and so far, no signs of her moving up yet. But moving back, on, like, though, Putty.
We talked about the last couple of years. They've had a hard time filling 30 women the Rumble. That's why they go back to the Legends. You can't bring the same legends back year in and year out. You need new faces. The more time, the longer this goes on, the more NXT faces will come up. I think Tiffany will be there. Cora will be there. A couple of people will be there.
Looking forward to that. Always my favorite event. Moving on to SmackDown, Putty. Big return tonight on SmackDown. AJ Styles is back. That's going to V dot at Hang Him High. Man, these names are getting weirder and weirder. Anywho, I have a feeling it's going to be a fatal four-way at the Rumble. Hashtag SmackDown, all caps. Lots of excitement there all throughout the wrestling community about AJ Styles being back. What do you think, buddy? Do you think this is going to be a fatal four-way for the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think if SmackDown ended 30 seconds earlier, it would have been. But the way it ended, I think we're going to see AJ Styles versus LA Knight. Yeah. At the Rumble.
Why did that happen? I feel like that was so random.
Very random. And we'll have to tune in next Tuesday, next Friday, see what happens next. But I thought it was great because now it keeps... there was some backlash about LA Knight not being in the main event picture or at the Royal Rumble. But here you are. It keeps him out of the main event picture for a couple months with his feud with AJ Styles. Going back to our conversation a week or two ago, it gives AJ Styles a feud, meaningful feud with LA Knight. That should be great. For AJ Styles as a heel, going back to our just conversation with... Much sexier. Dressed in all in black. Sign me up.
By the way, can we just say? AJ Styles.
Jacked. Oh, my God. Where did he come from?
What the hell?
Not only is TNA back, teenage AJ Styles is back. Jacked as fuck.
What's with all these guys? Like, taking some time off, just going like jacked, better. Especially in their 40s. Randy Orton. Look bigger
the Roman Reigns. Can we just talk about that for a second?
I want to mention that too. It's the first time I've noticed Roman Reigns look small.
I was like, what the fuck?
And I was watching that. I'm like, wow, I've never even noticed this before, that how small he is compared to his opponent. And he dwarfed him. And that's an exaggeration, but he towered over him. Yeah, I've never seen Roman Reigns look smaller than somebody else.
Towered over him and just like
outjacked him. Yeah.
Oh my lord! And you see AJ Styles jacked.
So I don't want to see a four way. Wow. I would want to see Roman Reigns as Randy Orton 1-on-1. I don't remember last time we've seen that. If we have, we haven't seen it with this Roman Reigns. Now let's see.
Not with this version of what's going on. We haven't seen this type of storyline.
And I hate to say it at this point, but it's another great test for LA Knight going against AJ Styles in a high-profile match.
How so? What do you mean? Because he already had the biggest test of all against Roman Reigns. Like, how is this?
What other rivalries or tests has he had before that? Meaningful. Bray Wyatt? Here's another one.
Yeah.
Without us knowing he's going to lose, because we knew he was going to lose against Roman Reigns, here's it. Now we're entering into a few we don't know is going to happen. And hopefully it's going to be more than one-off. Maybe a match at Perth, Australia for Elimination Chamber. So this is, I think this is a real big test, a long-term, solid storyline for him on the main event roster, his first.
Or, because then what's the point of AJ Styles attacking Roman Reigns? You know, I feel like it might be setting up for a fatal four-way. And you might get the one-on-one with Randy and Roman, maybe at Elimination Chamber.
Maybe.
You know, like, because Roman Reigns hasn't defended it yet in a fatal four-way, has he not?
No, he's not.
So that could be a different type of challenge for him.
Yep. Sky's the limit, man. I think would be a great way for him to lose it, but he's not going to lose it.
No, but it does make you question it, though. Because, like, you know, what was the point of Michael Cole? I believe it was Michael Cole saying about, like, you know, the Bloodline has made a lot of enemies over the years. You know, you see these three men standing tall looking down at Roman Reigns from the ring. That was about to be the closing shot until AJ Styles did what he did.
Again, 30 seconds earlier, great storytelling. Yes, they put him out of action. AJ Styles a vendetta against the Bloodline, much as Roman Reigns does, LA Knight does. But what's the beef to him and LA Knight? I don't know. We don't know that. So that has to branch off into his own separate. Like, why? What's going on here?
Had they had any? I don't remember them having any encounters.
I don't believe so.
Right?
No.
I don't know.
New fresh matchup. Excited.
So that's what you think it's going to be. Which one do you want it to be?
I want it to be single versus single. Roman Reigns,
you want it
Randy Orton, LA Knight, AJ Styles. Get to see what they both can do. I'll have to see those one-on-one matchups on a prominent PLE and see what they can do. I think Fatal 4 will be cluster. No one can really shine, or they take turns shining here, one-on-one. Solid 20-something minutes. Boom.
I can't remember the last time I saw like a solid Fatal 4-way.
Yeah, neither can I.
There have been
plenty
ones before.
Plenty.
Yeah.
I just can't recall one offhand. I don't have that memory of.
Like, as far as recent memory goes. But I think either one would be a great way to go. I do agree. I would want to see Roman versus Randy 1-on-1, but I want to see Randy win. That's the thing of that. You know, I feel like at least if there's a fatal four-way, it kind of excuses the fact of Randy not winning. Because Randy doesn't take the pin.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to take the pin there. And it still sets up for a further storyline there with Randy and Roman. And hell, if Cody winds up beating Roman at WrestleMania, that could lead to Randy turning heel. Like, I was the one that wanted to do this. It was supposed to be me. You know, so I think there's a lot there. That's why I feel like maybe Fatal 4-Way might be the way to go.
Maybe. But either way, we win. I think either match is going to be great.
Oh, absolutely. I think Royal Rumble's going to be fucking awesome. But, buddy, that's all I have for TV, my man.
All right, Marcos, let's wrap things up here. Send some go-home thoughts, if you don't mind me cutting the line here. Do you hear about the big news this week? Shohei Ohtani? You know who that is? And you're not a baseball guy. You know who that is?
Yeah, dude, that's a weird contract.
Very
weird. At first, it was like a huge contract. It was, oh, shit. But then you find out the details. Like, what?
$700 million for 10 years, but it's only 2 years. $2 million a year for the first 10. Then it's $600-something for the next, whatever it is. Like, okay. But Shohei Ohtani's a great player because he's both good as a batter and a pitcher, which is very rare these days. Very, extremely rare for decades and decades for somebody to be good at both,
right,
pitching and hitting. Seth Meyers put out a quote from his friend. I forgot the name of the friend. I cut off my screenshot, so I apologize. Andre Brower was basically the Shohei Ohtani of TV. Nobody had any business being that thunderously good at both drama and comedy, and yet there he was. Damn it. No disrespect to you, my friend. One of my favorite actors, one of my favorite moments of as a kid, was staying up late on Friday nights to watch Homicide: Life on the Streets, one of my favorite TV shows. And why is it not anywhere streaming so I can watch it again? Any show I want to watch is on streaming.
It's got to. It's got to soon.
No, it's nowhere. I mean, maybe soon now. But
yeah.
Then they caught Captain Holt on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I only saw the first half of that series. But what a fucking, one of my favorite, anytime I saw him in a TV show or movie, it was like fucking must see, man. God bless him. Great, great career. I'm sure he had more expunged than that as an actor. I mean, you might see his career more different perspective than I did. But man, what a fucking loss. One of my favorite actors. Rest in peace, buddy. Thanks for everything.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like he...
I love that analogy between him and Shohei Ohtani, by the way. His drama and comedy is great.
It was very, that's very well said. And it's so true. The dude's range was incredible. And yeah, all around from what I hear, I never got a chance to work with him, but from what I hear, very, very nice man. Sad, dude. That hit me as well, seeing the news. I was like, fuck.
Lung cancer. Ugh.
Yeah. That's a bitch, dude.
Smoking's bad, okay? You shouldn't smoke. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. I ain't going thoughts for you.
Well, dude, I don't know where to go from there.
You follow that.
How do I follow that?
American Horror Story, right? Episode.
American Horror Stories, yeah. That was in it. No, dude. Hey, listen, it's our last show of the year. Glad to be doing this for how long now? How have I been doing this?
I don't know. Too long.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the show started in 2016. Abel's son is, what, 5? So you came around 2001? No.
2001? No.
2019, because before the pandemic, you're coming here every week. The good old days of you being here live in studio like Ed Japan was for episode 10 of A Shot of BCW. Listen to that between episode 344 and this one, 345. Go back and listen to it. Re-encapsulated Nightmare at the Mecca for BCW. Great show. Great show. And previewed, Welcome to the New Year, January 20th, Rachel Park, New Jersey. Tickets available now.
And you're also going to have the BCW Awards.
Yes.
That's pretty major. First ever.
Yeah.
Good shot, wrestling. Doing big things, man. We've done a lot of cool things this past year, man. Like becoming the official podcast for BCW, transitioning
which we were for the last 7 years.
Yeah, but now it's like the official, Now it's like, we're in it. You know, to transition the video on YouTube, getting some great play on there. Dude, looking forward to see what's next for us in 2024. Like, how else we can continue to grow.
Do you have a favorite moment from this year, show wise, or
show wise,
BCW wise?
BCW wise, I mean, you know, Vicky winning the BCW Women's Championship was a very big moment for us. Listen, it's just wrestling; it's business. Mm-hmm. Ruthless Lotto would have done the same thing. She's admitted that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the BCW Championship, when it comes to any championship. Mm-hmm. Friendship takes a pause. You got to go for what's yours. And Vicious Vicky did just that.
I'm still waiting for my answer about what's going on with Vicky, but you're not giving me one. Every time I ask you, you zone out. So I'm not going to ask you because the show's almost over.
I don't want to. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. We don't talk about that.
Exactly. That's the problem. We're not talking about it.
Good. Dude. I'm not authorized to talk about anything. I don't want to know anything.
Aren't you in management?
No.
Weren't you doing commercials or something like that? And then all of a sudden she turns into the devil character and now... Oh, whatever. Now we're losing you. I see the glare in your eyes. You're going. You're fading. Hello? Did you freeze?
Whoa. Anywho, I'm Mark Swan. You can find me, your favorite actor. All my social media links are on there. What were you saying?
Nothing.
Anywho.
Talk about my favorite moment. That's right. You didn't ask me. I'll go fuck myself. So for Mark Swan, I've been your host for the last 12 months of 2023. At Mock Day Party. See you in 2024. Party out.
Hey, baby, I hear the bell ringing, hip tosses and body slams. Oh, my. And maybe you seem a bit confused. Yeah, baby, but I got you pinned. But I don't know what to do when I see them with that golden case. They're cashing it in.
Authority all in my face. What is a man to do? Good night, everybody!